One of the hardest things to do day to day as a Christian is maintain a solid prayer life. How do you become a praying Christian? In this series of messages, learn how to pray through the Bible and develop and strengthen and enrich your relationship to the Lord through prayer.
I'm going to continue my series on praying the scripture, and we talked, not last week, but the week before. This is a weird series because next week we won't have Sunday night service, and then the next week we'll have youth service, so it'll be like two more weeks before we meet together with me speaking. Zane will be preaching in 2 weeks, but we talked about the reason that we pray the Bible, and by the way, I appreciate the very encouraging and kind statements that folks have made, like, hey, this has been a huge help to me in my prayer life. I'm really, really thankful for that. I don't know how many people have said that, but I'm thankful for everyone that has. It's been multiple folks. But we talked a couple of weeks ago that when it comes to prayer, there's a problem in prayer. And we might as well be honest and admit it. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't, Pastor, I had somebody say to me one time, I don't think we should say there's a problem in prayer. Well, if there's a problem in prayer, there's a problem in prayer. It doesn't mean that praying is the problem, but in our humanity, there's a problem, and we struggle sometimes. And the big problem in prayer is often boredom. Boredom. Church shouldn't be boring. Let me say that again. Church shouldn't be boring. If church is boring, there's a problem somewhere. Church shouldn't be boring. Prayer shouldn't be boring. Prayer is lifting our hearts to God. And we talked about a couple weeks ago, you're 5 minutes into prayer and you're thinking about everything that has entered your mind and you're all over the place. The other problem with prayer is monotony, praying the same old thing about the same old thing. You just keep praying the same thing about the same thing, and it's like you get this long prayer list, and you think the key to prayer is one more thing on the prayer list. Let me just add one more thing on my prayer list. I've seen people with spreadsheets of prayer lists that are like 5 or 6 pages long with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prayer requests on them, and they just that's kind of their thing, and the prayer becomes, if we're honest about it, it almost becomes just a rote activity, like, Lord, be with Jane Doe and help her today, and Lord, be with John Smith and be with him today, and we just kind of go that way, and there's no, if I could say it this way, for most of us, you might be the unicorn in the room, meaning you might be the exception to the rule, and that's awesome, but as a general rule, there's no substance to our prayer, meaning that I'm not praying for, unless somebody really specifically talked to me, I'm not praying for Ben Mayer to find a wife. Ben needs a wife. And whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. 4 of us are happy about that. The rest of you are like, I'm still debating that. You're doing Bernie math. Like Bernie said, a few years ago, I learned this song at Canyon Ridge. He came 20 years ago. I learned this a few years ago. Few is now 20 in Bernie math. And so if we're not careful, we never pray. I'm not pointing out Ben. We got a lot of single guys that are weak and sickly among us. Not really. We're praying like, oh, Lord, be with this, 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 be with this. And it just becomes very monotonous. And day one, it might be good. Day two, it might be okay. Day three, we start thinking, if you're like your pastor, you start thinking, man, I prayed for this yesterday. And I prayed for this the day before. And day 4, we do it. And day 5, we do it. And by the time we get to like day number 12, if we make it to 12 days, we're almost, again, if you're like me, you might be way more spiritual, but I just start gutting it out. It's like burpees in a workout. Like, I'm going to do them because it's on the board. Now, if you've never done burpees in a workout, I don't know what the analogy would be that's better than that, but it could be just something like, I've just got to get this done. And if you've ever approached your prayer life with something like that, like, I've just got to get through this, that's not the idea of intimacy with the Lord. That's not what God is looking for. That's not the relationship we're supposed to have with the Lord. So we saw a problem in prayer, boredom. We saw a problem in prayer, monotony. We saw a problem in prayer of the inability to express what we need to say. I've prayed this prayer, Lord, I don't even know what to say right now. But help Alex Lominario. I'm done. Okay, then we just move on. There's a problem of being overwhelmed with the situation, not sure the direction to pray. And then we just start praying for things that we want. I think that sometimes the reason that we just pray for things that we want is because we have a passion for the things that we want. It's like, oh, Lord, I don't know what else to pray for. Could I get a farm in South Dakota? Chris Pank, nobody's ever prayed for a farm in South Dakota. Great to have Chris's mom here tonight. Nobody's ever prayed that prayer. Well, I'm not, probably some people from South Dakota have. People from North Dakota have prayed to move south just for the winter, because South Dakota has easy winters compared to those ones in North Dakota. I'm teasing if you've never been there. But we just start praying for things that we want, and that's when we're like, my prayer is just self-absorbed, and it's consuming. And so we talked as well, and we're getting to the big idea, but because this is teaching and not preaching, I'm just giving about 6 minutes of review, the prompting of prayer, and we looked at Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17, and we were reminded that the Holy Spirit reminds us of our standing with God. We're adopted, and we can ask God anything. We're also reminded that the Holy Spirit encourages us to pray. Turn back to Romans chapter 8. I just want you to read the text so you don't think I'm just saying it. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Get there quickly, if you would. Romans chapter 8, verse number 15. It's not going to be on the slide. For ye have not received the spirit of adoption again to fear, but ye have received the spirit, ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. The Holy Spirit encourages us to pray. The Holy Spirit empowers us to pray. Ephesians 6, verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our greatest advocate when it comes to our prayer life. He's our greatest advocate. That's why there's oftentimes when you just feel this desire like, bro, I just need to pray. I just need to get alone with the Lord and spend time with the Lord. That is probably not, I'm being facetious when I say probably not, a little bit sarcastic, but it's probably not the work of the flesh or the work of Satan. They don't encourage us to do spiritual things. Your flesh has never told you to witness to somebody. Satan has never tempted you with, like, tithe. He's never done that. They're not encouraging you to do things that are spiritually beneficial to you. So I want us to look tonight, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, where the Bible says, and we won't be long tonight, it's the summer, I get it, but I want you to look at verse number 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing, or don't worry, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I want you to notice when we talk about praying the scripture, there is a need to ask. There is a need to ask. Verse number 6, Philippians chapter 4, in everything, by prayer and supplication. Everything. It's that word we looked at this morning, the Greek word pos. It's a word when the Bible comes up with words like all or everything, other words like that that describe this idea of totality or completeness or oneness. The Apostle Paul is writing the church at Philippi, and he's saying, don't worry about anything. Don't have no worries, but in everything that you're going through, in everything that comes up in life, we could say it this way, in everything that might cause you to worry, in everything that might cause you to worry, with prayer and or by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. The word prayer is exactly what it means, petitioning the Lord. Supplication is making known your need, asking for a specific benefit. Somehow, I don't know how it happened, but somehow I became the giver of peppermints to kids. And so I'm going to start charging parents $5 a peppermint. It'll be a great deal. No, I'm totally teasing. I actually really enjoy it. It's just a great connection point. But kids will come and they will, here's the word, they will supplicate their pastor for peppermint. They're just making a specific request for something. That's what it means. Everything by prayer, petitioning the Lord and supplication, the idea of going to the Lord with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. They're coming, the kids come to their pastor with a specific request. Can I have a peppermint? And I've never turned them down except when they ask right before church starts on Sunday morning and they're skipping junior church to get a peppermint. And some of those kids have sugar addictions. You should talk to them. But the big idea here is the need to ask. Everything by prayer and supplication. James talks about when it comes to prayer, you have not because you ask not. The reason so often we don't have prayer answered is because we don't pray. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it to your lust. And so there's this need to pray. We understand, I think, intuitively that. And so Paul says, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request, he uses this word request, the thing that you've asked for, be made known unto God. Make sure God knows what you need, not doubting his sovereignty. It's not like he doesn't know what you need. He knows what you need more than you know what you need. Romans chapter 4, verse number 27, where the Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be uttered according to the will of God. God knows what you need more and what I need more than what you and I know what we need, but he desires that we would express our need to him. He desires to hear our requests. That's why he tells us to do that. It'd be extremely presumptuous for any human being to compare themselves to God, but we kind of do this as parents if we're smart at time, if we're smart. When Judith and Natalie were young, they would want something. They would want something that I could provide for them, that I could give them. And in truth, I wanted to provide this for them. And Judith, if you don't know Judith, she's our oldest daughter, lives in Kailua, Hawaii. And she was more this way than Natalie, but they would need something. I could provide something, and they wouldn't ask for it. And then I would say to them at some point, why didn't you just ask for it? And they would respond with, I wanted to take care of it myself. Now, Judith, that was a regular thing for her. Natalie said that one time. And let me tell you, it hasn't been in the last 10 years. Matter of fact, now she asks for everything. Now she doesn't even live in our house. She just shows up. The other day, she shows up. She knows where the safe is. She starts pulling out money like, what in the world are you doing? She's like, oh, I'm just letting my request be made known unto Dad. I'm like, it's theft. You're a thief. But Judith would often say, I want to pay my own way, Dad. I want to prove that I can do it. Sometimes as Christians, that's how we are. I feel weak if I ask God for something. Folks, you're not weak if you ask God for something. Matter of fact, you're extremely strong if you ask God for something. But let me tell you this. You are weak just like your pastor is. God hath chosen the weak things of the world, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, to confound the wise, or to confound the mighty, and the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. There's no shame in being weak when it comes to our standing with the Lord. So I want to talk just for a minute about the need to ask. And when it comes to praying the scripture, I want to encourage you with this. When you find that passage, and we're going to talk deeply about it, but when you pray the scripture, it is quite simple. You just pray for whatever comes to mind. Simply, you read a line of scripture, preferably the Psalms. You could do anywhere, we'll talk about that, but preferably the Psalms, and then you just pray for whatever comes to mind. Don't feel odd if something comes to mind that's unrelated to the point of scripture. Remember, we're not exegeting the text, we're simply praying for the scripture. The Holy Spirit will often burden our hearts for something related to the text. However, the guidance might be something unrelated. Either way, it's okay. We're not preaching a message about it. We're praying the scripture. And if while praying, I'm sorry, if while reading the text or praying the text, God burdens your heart for something or you're remembering a need that a person has, stop right there and pray for that. This is not a time, when you're praying the scripture, of intentional Bible study. The point is a prayer reminder or a prayer initiator in conjunction with the spirit of submission and the prompting of the Spirit. Turn your Bibles real quick to Psalm chapter 3. Psalm chapter 3. Psalm chapter 3, verse number 1. Get there as quick as you can. If you're new to church, pretty much the book of Psalms is in the middle of your Bible. Matter of fact, the middle verse of the Bible is in the book of Psalms. If you have a study Bible with a lot of notes at the end, it can mess that up, but you'll get it. Psalm chapter 3, verse number 1. Now read this verse, read it along as I read it. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say to my soul, there is no help for me. God, let's say that you're praying that prayer and you get to, many are they that rise up against me. Or many there be which say to my soul. And you remember your friend Manny has a job interview that day? Because you read the word many and it reminds you of Manny? Pray for Manny. You say, oh, come on, pastor. That's not what that text means. Right, it's not what the text means. That we're not given a Bible study. We're going to the Lord. And whatever comes to mind, that's what we're praying for. Now, I know some of you are so spiritual, like, I don't think I could ever do that. Oh, come on. That's, you're being nitpicky over a book of prayer. Every other time we study the scripture, we're to rightly divide the word of truth. We're to rightly divide the word of truth. We're not rightly dividing anything. We're using the Bible as a prayer prompt here. If you read Psalm 23, verse number 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And you think of restoring the soul, which has to do with a believer who is downtrodden, who is discouraged, who is in some ways almost emotionally or spiritually defeated. So it has nothing to do with evangelism, but you read the phrase, restore my soul, and God reminds you of your friend who needs salvation, and he reminds you of your friend, you know, Tim. Hey, stop right there and pray for Tim. I'm praying for it. Restoring my soul has nothing to do with evangelism or salvation, but the Holy Spirit used that to remind you, or you just remembered it. Either way is fine. It's not bad either way. Just stop and pray for that. Just stop right there and pray for it. So pray for whatever comes to mind. Whatever comes to mind. As long as it's like, oh, dear Lord, be with the Teletubbies podcast coming out next week. I mean, Bernie already's got that one covered, so we're good. We're good. Don't force it. Don't force it. If nothing comes to mind, then move to the next line. The other day I was praying through, oh, good grief, what is the day, the 23rd, something like that. And I always think I was praying the 83rd Psalm. And I went through about four verses and literally nothing came to mind. I read through the verse, I meditated on the verse, nothing came to mind. Just move to the next line. If you don't know what the verse is referring to and nothing comes to mind, just move on. You may want to make a note in your Bible or in a pad. Everyone should keep a pad next to them while they're praying so that those amazing thoughts that come to you that will distract you the rest of your prayer time, you can write them down and go back and look at them. And I don't know if you've ever had those. Sometimes you go back and they're amazing, and sometimes you go back and go, what in the world did I just write down? But you can go back and study those. But you're not looking, again, to study this. You're looking for this as a prayer reminder in conjunction and submission to the Holy Spirit. With that said, you may ask the Lord, what does this mean? Lord, how can I apply this to my life? That's awesome. Do that. Wherewithal, Psalm 119, verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. God, help me to understand this psalm as I read it, or this passage as I read it, and as I pray it. Help it to be sealed in my heart. Help it to be ensconced in my life that I would understand what this means. So there's a need to ask, and we don't need to overthink it. Just pray for whatever comes to mind. We don't need to force it. So the question has to be asked, why the Psalms? Why pray the Psalms? Now, let me say, you can pray over any passage of Scripture you like, but I would submit to you that the Psalms are the prayer book of the church. I would submit to you the Psalms are the prayer book of the church. It's not a hard and fast rule, but the Psalms should be of the utmost importance to the church. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. This is a topical study tonight, very uncommon for Canyon Ridge. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in, what's the word? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He's talking about singing, and one of the things that we do to ourselves is sing the psalms unto ourselves and sing the hymns unto ourselves and spiritual songs. Turn with me over to Colossians chapter 3. Right after the book of Philippians, where we started off, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3, and verse number 16. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. That's why I encourage you to sit up towards the front and sing and look at other people while they sing. It's supposed to be teaching us. So we're letting the words of Christ dwell in us richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in what? In psalms. In psalms. You say, well, the psalms just mean old songs. No, it's probably, we believe, and almost everyone believes this, at least we believe this is the direction the Holy Spirit is going, the sacred psalms of the Hebrew canon. Sing the psalms in your heart. They're supposed to be a part of who you are. They're supposed to be a part of what you do. The Psalms are models of prayer for every believer. By acquainting ourselves with them, we come to know the structure and the content of prayer as God wants it prayed. The Psalms are a prayer book that God tells, where God shows us by example how to pray. I've heard so many confusing messages on prayer. Can I tell you, if you want to be have a really good prayer life, read and study and pray the Psalms. Read, study, and pray the Psalms. You'll revolutionize your prayer life by doing that. The Psalms express the full range of human emotion. John, did you bring those down here? I changed my mind about three times. You did not. Okay, as soon as service is over, on the back table will be a handout. And this is my bad because I changed it at the last second. Sorry, John. from a book, Praying the Scriptures, that has been such a huge encouragement to me, is a handout of the emotions that are in the book of Psalms. It's a half sheet of paper, both sides. I'm having it laminated this week, and I'm taping it into my Bible. It's two-sided. I'll have both of them put in my Bible. And it's amazing as you're like, hey, I feel angry today, Lord, and I'm really ticked off, and it has a spot for anger in there, and you go and you begin to read that. Or I'm discouraged, and you begin to pray that. Or I'm struggling with temptation, or I need to ask forgiveness of sin, and I'm struggling because I don't want to. I mean, the full range of emotion is listed there, and it's just super beneficial as we pray that prayer. Matter of fact, today I just needed prayer on a specific issue, and I opened up to Psalm chapter 3, and I began to pray, and I began to ask God to do a great work, and I began to ask God to help me. And Psalm chapter 3 ministered to my soul in a way that a conversation with another human being never could. Never could. The Psalms express the full range of human emotions, and the Psalms prove us and help us with some of the clearest pictures of who God is and how God relates to his people. You say, Pastor, I feel like you really want us to pray the Psalms. I do, because I think that they are so beneficial. Their meaning is the book of praise. And we know God wants us to praise him. It seems as though he is saying, I want your praise, but you're not very skilled at praising me, so now I'm going to teach you how to praise me, and if you don't get it, that's okay. I'm going to actually step by step guide you through it. One writer on this subject said, the Psalms offer us the gift of expression, courage, and celebration, and the gift of raw honesty. The Psalms do not attempt to be nice or polite. Instead, they give us permission to talk to God without holding back and to be exactly where we are and who we are with God. That's powerful. God, my day stinks. God, my day is amazing. You're a shield. You're a buckler. You're a fortress. Your mercies are new. Psalm 139, all about the mercy of God. God, you're so beneficial. You're so helpful. You're helpful to me in every single way. Their meaning is a book of praise. Number two, they offer a gift of expression. They use powerful words. They conjure up images of courage and celebration. They're honest. They encourage us to be the same in our walk with God. God wants you to be courageous, not cowardly. And the psalmist reminds us of that. I'm convinced one of the reasons most men don't pray is you feel like you have to pray for some effeminate thing. I'm thankful. Let me just say this. I'm thankful that the Bible is a masculine book. I get really fatigued with hearing people effeminizing the scripture, like the Lord's up in heaven in a tutu running around in fairy dust trying to give sweet tarts to everybody on the planet. I don't mean to be rude, and I certainly don't mean to be offensive, but God, we got a complaint the other day. Oh, John fired me up this morning. John and I go over the message every Sunday morning. He needs an extra sermon. Two's not enough. And so we go over some stuff in the morning just to make sure we're both on the same page with all the media and everything. And this morning he made a comment about something. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, oh, remember that complaint email we got after Memorial Day? And I was like, we got a complaint email? Bernie's at it again. Naval Academy 03. And so I said, no, I don't. I never got that. He goes, yes, you did. I said, I didn't get it. He goes, yes, you did. I said, John, I'm not lying to you. I didn't get it. He goes. Well, he starts telling me what it is. I said, John, just let me read it. Now, this is like 10 minutes before men's prayer. I'll be honest with you. I was a little tired. My coffee had not kicked in. Not any of the 10 cups. And so I was like, dude. And so I read it. And the guy, I assume it was a guy, because of the way that he wrote. But the person said this. He said, we won't be visiting your church again because of the aggressive preaching. And so I went back and thought about what I said on Memorial Day. And I thought, oh yeah, that was pretty aggressive. And then I said to John, I'm going to keep being aggressive. Why? Because I don't serve a pacifist God who's sitting in the background waving a white flag saying, I surrender. I'm just telling you, I grew up singing songs like Hold the Fort for I Am Coming, Jesus Signal Still, Wave the Answer Back to Heaven, By Thy Grace We Will. Now it's an old, antiquated, kind of weird song, but it does mean that we're engaged in a battle and we're pressing forward and we're moving forward. And I want to be engaged in that battle. I'm moving forward. The armament of God has a sword in it, for crying out loud, and a shield, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm telling you, it's not by the pacifists that churches are started and people are saved. It's the work of God and every great man of God. Different style, different personality, different way of going about it. Not everybody should be like me. Oh, heavens no. I only want to be the only one of me on the planet. Please be yourself in Jesus' holy name. But good night. Let's charge forward for the cause of Christ, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. We don't serve a God who's up in heaven going, well, everybody, let's just sit down and have a little bit, Debbie's snack cake right now, and let's take a lifelong nap right now, okay, everybody? You got your Cabbage Patch dolls? All right, Nathan, snuggle up. That's not what he's doing. Man, the Psalms encourage us. They bring courage to us. Lord, my marriage stinks. I need help. I tell you, you pray that prayer to Jesus, he's going to change your marriage. No, I said, you pray that prayer to Jesus. The reason a lot of you won't pray that prayer is because you know he'll change it. And you're not hip on what the change looks like. I'm not saying he's going to fix everything. That's not what I'm trying to say. That's not what I'm about. I get that it might not always be the easiest thing on the planet. But make no mistake, we serve an awesome God, and the Psalms teach us the gift of expression. When it comes to spiritual things, we learn by our mentors, and we ought to be mentored by the Holy Spirit when it comes to prayer, because he always prays according to the will of God. Always. He never, remember we studied this like 3 weeks ago, Sunday morning. He never fails to pray within accordance of God's will. So the gift of expression is there. And by the way, men, be masculine in your prayer. Somebody said, well, I think that's toxic masculinity. I think not being masculine is toxic. I think that causes massive problems in this world. I know it causes massive problems in this world, and massive problems in the home, and massive problems in society. The gift of expression is taught to us in the Psalms. We cry to the Lord and we're vulnerable. Sometimes we don't just need courage or encouragement. Sometimes we need a little bit of rebuke. Sometimes we need a tremendous amount of comfort. Sometimes we need a whole lot of grace. Sometimes we need help with discouragement. And the Psalms do all of that. All of that. The Psalms draw us into active worship. Turn to Psalm 139 real quick. We're going to look at a lot of scripture right now in the Psalms. So get there. And I want you to see this. We're almost done. This may be the fourth shortest service in the history of Canyon Ranch. It may not be either, but it might. There's a chance. Psalm 139. The Bible says, O Lord, verse number one, thou hast searched me and known me. I'm just reading that, and I'm starting to think what my prayer life is like when I pray that. God, you search me. You know, you can't lie to yourself when you pray that. God, you search me. You know what's going on the inside. Verse number two, thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. You know the things that destroy me. You know the things that encourage me. I don't mean destroy physically, but you know the things that really pull me down, that negatively affect me. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Here's the truth. God knows our thoughts before we do. Thou compass my path and my laying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you have ever said something that could have a dual meaning? It was taken wrong. You knew it would be taken wrong. You went ahead and said it. And when you were confronted with it, you said something like this. Oh, I didn't mean it that way. Oh, yeah. I know about that because Debbie told me she does that. No, I know about that because we've all done that. Every one of us have done that. Lord, you know it already. So here's the idea of Psalm 139. It draws us into active worship. This isn't a passive thing that we're doing now, because we're not just reading this and getting through so we can mark off on our Bible checklist or say we read for a certain amount of time. This is active worship. God is praised as we enter into the world of Psalms. We come into his presence vulnerably, honest, ready, spontaneous, and joyful. If we had time to read the whole thing, which we don't, he talks in verse number 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Hey, you've got identity struggles in your life. People are like, oh, I wish I was taller. I wish I was shorter. I wish I had darker skin. I wish I had lighter skin. I wish I was thinner. I wish I was thicker. Whatever the case may be, as a kid, my ears have been the same size since birth. They look fine on a 270-ish pound, 50-year-old man, but imagine having these ears when you're 1 year old. My brother used to throw me through the air and I would glide. You think I'm kidding? My dad would say, hey, I want to hold Chris. My mom would just fly me in like an airplane. I'd just float there across the whole house. Soft landing. I mean, And my brother was not known for grace or peace or kindness or Christ-likeness. He's just an evil criminal. And he reminded me of that my whole life. That's because my mom loves me more than she loves him, and he's got problems with that. I hope he's listening. Sometimes he watches, and then I get text messages later, which I'm just glad for the first time in his life he's watching a sermon and paying attention. But if you don't know my brother, I love him dearly. He's a godly man, and he works with children in his church because he can't take adult services. I'll praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And notice what he says about the work of God in their life. This is my prayer often. There's a big issue going on with the transgender community. And by the way, God created them male and female created he them. You were created the way God wanted you to be created. You were created with the gender, the skin color, and the predispositional size that God wanted you to have. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Hey, I would rather be something else. Oh, no, baby, because you're perfectly made by the Lord. This is talking about physical characteristics. Marvelous was my making. Some of y'all can be in the sun and you haven't had a tan in your life. You go from white to stoplight. And that's it. Can I tell you what Jesus said about it? It's marvelous. You say, oh, well, I wish I was something else. Humanity is fickle. Humanity is fickle. When I was a kid, if a woman weighed over 100 pounds, she wasn't attractive. Society has changed that. I'm not saying good or bad. I'm just saying it's fickle. Here's what we need to understand, that you were created marvelously. Oh, God, I'm marvelous. Marvelous are your works. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knoweth right well. My soul lives in this reality that I am perfectly created by you. I look at guys like my dear friend Anthony King or Tyler Wardlaw, my dear friend. These guys can grow a beard in about 3 minutes. Matter of fact, Tyler grew his first beard when he was 6. Six and a half, sorry. Showed up to school. He had a fake tattoo on his arm. He had a Harley Davidson bicycle with a gas tank on it. And he had a big old long beard down to the chain. And he was 6.5 years old. I'm 50. I can't grow a beard. Casper, he can grow this beard. He looks like a Baptist version of ZZ Top. Me and Bernie, I don't know if it's with pastors or what, but the only reason Bernie's still employed is because I can grow facial hair better than him. I'm kidding. That's not always. But I mean, we just can't grow facial hair. I don't know what it is. By the way, neither can Zane Garza, but he tries. But I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and it's marvelous. It's marvelous. Well, don't you wish you were different? If I was different, I wouldn't be me. And if I wasn't me, I'd still be marvelous. I mean, you say, Pastor, do you get excited like that in your prayer? I absolutely do. Psalms draw us into active worship. Look at Psalm chapter 5. We'll start towards the front, just because, or Psalm chapter 3. Active worship of Psalm chapter 3, verse number 3. You'll turn to the right for the rest. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. You read that on a down day, on a discouraged day, as I'll talk about scanning the text, and you're like, I need to pray that. Lord, you're a shield for me. I feel like no one else in this world can protect me. Not my spouse, not my parents, not my children, not my job, not my friends, not my church. Lord, you are a shield for me. You're my glory. And God, you lift up my head. God, I would pray something like this. God, you're the giver of confidence to me. Act of worship. Psalm chapter 5, look over there. Psalm chapter 5, verse number 2. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Why is he looking up? Lord, help me. Here's how I might pray this prayer. Lord, help me to be expectant for an answer from you at any moment. Look at Psalm 118, verse number 2. Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. This is different, way different than praying the same old thing about the same old thing. Psalm 28, verse number 1, unto thee will I cry. Go there real quick. I don't want to spend all night turning. Psalm 28, 1, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. God, if you don't speak to my heart, you ever been here? Lord, if you don't speak to my heart, it's like I'm going to be in prison. I don't know this to be true, but even as I just now read it, the Holy Spirit in Psalm 28, verse number 1, the Holy Spirit reminded me of some people that I love dearly that struggle with depression. We call it going into the pit. And just start praying for them. Again, we're not trying to change the text. I think I could make a biblical exposition of this. I think that we could. That's probably what he means. I'd have to study it out to be correct. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's what he means. Look at verse number 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. I don't know about you this morning, but in the second service, those of you that were here, I about sang my voice raw. I mean, I'm going to sing tonight. I'm trying to sing, and I sounded like I don't know what I sounded like. There is nothing on this planet that sounded as weird as I did tonight. But I my song is to praise him. I would pray, Lord, help me to rejoice in you greatly. Help me to sing and praise you so all the world will know that my praise is to you and my joy comes from you. Turn over to Psalm 62. Verse number one, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Lord, help me to trust in you more. Verse number two, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Now, don't raise your hand and say you've done this, okay? Because I'm sure that we all have. But how many of us have been wounded by a friend or a former relationship or something like that, and there was a division, a breaking, and they're saying stuff, and you're saying stuff, and we get in this, like, their camp versus our camp. You know what I'm talking about? It can be massive, or it can be like two people here and two people here. Lord, you're my defense. Lord, help me to just be quiet, like the word says, to study to be quiet and to not be greatly moved. Lord, help me not to be moved away from you. Help, Lord, this burden that I'm going through not to cause me to wander from my closeness with you. It draws us into active, day by day, moment by moment, worship. And that's one of the beautiful things about the Psalms. That's one of the amazing things. And truly, folks, I would submit to you, that's even their intent. Psalm 84:11, the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 91:4, he shall cover thee with feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. So it draws us, the Psalms draw us into active worship. So how do we pray the Psalms? Finally, we're to this point. How do we pray the Psalms? I'll be 10 minutes or more. How do we pray the Psalms? Number one, pray a psalm each day. Pray a psalm each day. And by the way, you say, oh, what if I don't? Okay, then just go with the next one. It's the next day on the calendar. Pray a psalm each day. The first time I heard about this was from the small book that we'll be selling in our at the end of this series, How to Pray by Donald Whitney. I read it a few years ago. Now, I believe in systematic Bible study and Bible reading, and I've become a big fan of systematic Bible praying. And I think it's essential for the growth and development of Christians. I don't believe that God wants Bible reading to be a drudgery and boring. This is why I tell new believers, hey, read through the New Testament Psalms and Proverbs about 6 to 10 times before you even think about going to the Old Testament. Most seasoned Christians that I know get into like Genesis and they're like, oh, that's great. And Exodus and they're like, oh, that's good. At Leviticus, they're like, what in the world just happened? Now, there's always somebody that goes, oh, I love Leviticus. It's God's word. Whatever. I mean, maybe you do. That's fine. I mean, I love it too. It is God's word. But I'm telling you, there's more than a few times where I'm like, thank God we are in the church age. Because I don't get all of the hyssop and the throwing and the this and the water and all of that stuff. And I know some people are going, I think you're being sacrilegious. No, I'm not Jewish. I'm a Gentile. I'm a Gentile follower of Jesus Christ. Leviticus wasn't written to me other than to show me the specificity that God had when it came to the, or comes to, or came to, I guess I should say, the coming Messiah, which Leviticus is a picture of the rules and the requirements that God had coming to Jesus. It's a beautiful book of the Bible, but come on, how many of us have been reading going, now is this the brazen altar, the altar of sacrifice? How'd we cut that goat's neck anyway, mama? And sometimes if we're not careful, we get caught up in the minutia, and God wants us to have a relationship with him. And our time with the Lord is often going to be how about if I say it this way and not be unkind about it? Might sometimes often be a little bit uninspiring. Private worship, which is what we grew up calling it, devotion, I don't like that term. I like the term private worship because that's what it's supposed to be. We don't have like private devotion and public devotion. No, we have private worship and we have corporate worship. I think they more accurately describe what is to go on in the heart and life of the believer. Now, if people use that term, if you grew up using that term, I don't care. It's not a big deal. But that's why I use those terms. How's your, Alex and I were in discipleship on Saturday, yesterday morning, and I said, how's your private worship? And he told me how his private worship's going. That's awesome. I love that. Love to hear it. God doesn't, your private worship may not always be a mountaintop experience. Sometimes you do it because it's our duty to do it. Just like sometimes in marriage, Debbie and I have been married 28 and a half years. And actually, I think today is 28 and a half years. It's not every day has been like, oh, the best day of my life. No, it's not always. It's just been a lot of just normal days. If you've been married more than like 6 days, you're like, man, it's just had a normal day. If every day is great, then no day is great. Some days are actually better than others. And sometimes your private worship is better than others. And sometimes your prayer life is better than others. But it always should be helpful and meaningful. We ought to get something out of it. Some days we might get way more than we do other days, but we ought to get something out of it each day. It might not be the biggest and best meal you've ever had, spiritual meal you've ever had, but we ought to be nourished every day. Sometimes I just drink a collagen protein shake. They're about as bland as English food. Somebody said the other day, is English food bad? And a guy from England goes, if it's cooked right, it is. I mean, we ought to be nourished every single day, though some days are better than others. Bible reading, prayer, they're systematic. That means we're going through. That's why I love this system. The leave it up to God approach often leads to overlooking one text of scripture. The I'll open my Bible and pray this text. I just opened my Bible to Jeremiah 52. That would be a fun passage to pray through. I use fun sarcastically. The Psalm of the Day approach will take you 30 to 60 seconds to scan about 5 psalms of that day and pick one that best leads you to pray on that occasion. So here's the plan. So we saw the pray the psalm. Here's the plan. If you take 150 psalms and divide that by 30 days, most months have at least 30 days. For those of you that cared, there's 4 months with 30, 7 months with 31. So there's 11 months with at least 30 days, and then there's stupid February. I don't know why. Bernie can explain that later. He probably knows. I don't. And if you told me, I might remember and I might not. If you were to read 5 psalms a day, you would read through the book of Psalms in a month. I'm not suggesting that you read through 5 psalms a day. I'm encouraging you to scan 5 psalms a day. So the first psalm is the one that corresponds with the day of the month. So today is what, the 25th, 26th, whatever this day, the day is, let's say it's the 25th. So 30 plus 25 is 85. 30 plus 85 is 115. And 30 plus 115 is 145. So you would go through those psalms. You'd add 30, you got 25, and then you go to 55, and then you go to 85, and then you go to 115 and 145. Those psalms are the psalms for the 25th. You pick one of those psalms to pray for that day. There's no right or wrong psalm to pray for in that. There's no right or wrong psalm to pray anyway, but this is just a systematic way of doing it. And then I encourage you to note the psalm that you prayed. I put in my Bible, I could show you upstairs, I could show you, that I put on that, prayed 623. Why 623? Because it corresponds with that day. I might pray that the next time I pray. I'm not trying to pray through all of them. I'm trying to pray through the ones that guide me and help me to get where I need to be. Note the psalm that you prayed. Write it next to it. But I don't want to get in a rut, so I don't want to always do the same thing unless the Lord leads me. Not all of the psalms are as easy to pray as others. There are imprecatory psalms, psalms of judgment that are being pronounced on people that are a lot more challenging than Psalms 1 or Psalm 23 or Psalm 139 that we looked at earlier. But you want to scan them. It will take you about 30 to 60 seconds, and you'll most likely find a psalm that God impresses on your heart. You say, "Oh, Pastor, those are 30-day months. What do we do with the 731-day months?" Well, the 731-day months pray Psalm 119, which is broken down in sections of 8 verses. There are 22 stanzas of that, and you can scan 5 of those stanzas a day. 8 verses. They're actually longer than some psalms, and you can scan those, and you can pray those. And here's the whole idea. It's to guide you through your prayer time. So your prayer time, a couple benefits. Your prayer time is always lively. It has the potential to be energetic. And it keeps you from simply voicing your irritation and complaint about things that are going on in the world or in your own personal life. If your marriage is struggling, if your kids are sick, if your finances are bad, and in the world in which we live today, if you're not careful, that's all you'll pray for. And then youth camp. You're like, okay, these are my things. Lord, why did I marry her? Help me. Or God, why did I marry him? Or Lord, our marriage stinks. And those are prayers that you should pray if you're still, Lord, our marriage stinks. Might not be the prayer. Maybe, Lord, help our marriage to be better would be the more appropriate way of doing that. But it will help guide your prayer life. I've got one more message on this series. And here's why I'm so passionate about it. I've been in church for 50 years. I've missed 14 services in 50 years, but if you count all the extra services that I've been through, I've been to well over 10,000 church services. And I watch preaching all the time. I've read so many books on prayer, and they all become very, very challenging and very rote and duty-driven. I would submit to you, prayer is supposed to be a delight and to draw us closer to the Lord. And I want to be drawn closer to the Lord, don't you? I want to be closer to Jesus. I mean, we're not just coming here because you know, the assistant pastor is attractive, and I don't know which one I'm talking about, but, or that we're in a round building or for whatever. No, we come because we want to be closer to Jesus. We come because we want to fall more deeply in love with the Lord. Well, corporately, we want to be systematic, and then privately, we do too. And I can't recommend highly enough. It's not, you're not sinning if you don't do what I recommend. Don't think that. You don't have to tell anybody. If what's working for you is working for you and you're finding great joy in it, that's awesome. But I haven't found anyone in 50 years, maybe I shouldn't say not anyone, maybe a small handful of folks that are like, I'm completely satisfied with my prayer life. Our dad, who is a phenomenal prayer warrior, he and I have talked, and my dad's character, he calls himself a plower. Like, if he knows to do something, he'll just do it for the rest of his life. I mean, and he'll just do it. That is a rare personality trait. He should have been a farmer. I mean, because those are the type of things that he enjoys. He'll do the monotonous over and over and over again. But even he has said, son, my prayer life at times can just be monotonous. I want to remove monotony from my prayer life, and I want to enhance joy in my prayer life, and I want to look forward to my prayer time with the Lord, and not simply like, okay, I knocked this out. We're going to talk in 2 weeks. We're going to talk about meditation, scripture memory, and different passages of scripture to look at in the Bible. And then we'll be done with what I hope is a very helpful and practical study on our prayer life. That's my desire. That's my hope. That's my prayer.
Thank you for listening. Find more messages every week at CanyonRidgeBaptist.com. If you're in the San Diego area, join us for a service. We meet at 8:30 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 5 p.m.